How many of you this morning have been hidden in the cleft of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, from all the tragedy and all the things that this world has to bring our way, to cause us to be frightened and to cause us to be scared? I assure you of this. These things are all just temporary. And God Himself takes His children and hides them. That's the hope that we have. Anybody excited about that? Y'all slap the person next to you and say, wake up. Huh? Let me tell you, some of y'all got excited about preseason football yesterday, and I can't get you excited about Jesus. Huh? Like, quiet in the church house. Y'all miss that? I said some of you got excited about preseason football. Huh? And you can't even get excited about Jesus. Hey, we're making headway. I'm in no hurry. Some of you got excited about preseason football. And the poor old pastor can't even get you excited about Jesus. The cleft of the rock of God who He's hidden you in to save you from the sin and the destruction and the judgment and the condemnation of this world. And you can't even get excited about it. Man, that's messed up. Here's the thing. Y'all notice I didn't come with pom-poms. Let the Holy Spirit be your cheerleader and quit worrying about what other people think if you get excited about Jesus. You have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, as we continue to look at these people called the strangers, these people who Peter dubbed as strangers on this earth, those of us who are here who have been born again, he says, this is not your place. You don't belong here. You should look different. You should act different. You ought to be different than the system of this world. You ought to, as we learned last week, you ought to allow the authority that's been placed over you to rule you. But here's the thing. In doing this, you ought to look different than everybody else. That's what stands to reason that what we're going to look at today. Here's the thing. Peter does not switch gears in explaining to the church that they ought to be strangers in this world and just decide to do a marriage seminar here. He's going to talk to married couples here today. And he didn't say, you know what, I've been reading the latest and greatest Dennis Rainey book, and I think that now what I'm going to do is a marriage retreat. That's not what he's doing here. Though he's going to give you some advice about marriage, what he's doing here, he's sticking to the theme that, hey, strangers, your marriage should not look like the marriages of this world. Any married people here today? Raise your hand. Listen up. Listen up. I want you to pay attention. Because when you obey the Word of God in regard to what Peter's going to teach us today, and when we look over at Paul's teaching on this, when we see these things, here's the thing. You're going to be different. Is it going to be any easier to be married? Absolutely not. You're a man trying to live with a woman. You're a woman trying to live with a man. And we are polar opposites, aren't we? Everybody go like this. You say, but me and my wife, we get along so well. You had to learn how to do that, I promise. Here's the thing. As we look at this today, what he's going to do, he's going to stick to his theme. He's going to stay true to the context of this entire letter. And he's going to say, hey, strangers, those of you who've been born again, here's what your message and your marriage ought to look like, and here is the message that ought to be preached to the lost world by your marriage of what a godly household ought to look like. Now, I'm going to warn you, if you're liberal here today, you might as well go on and get up now. Because this is going to seem old-fashioned. I'm going to tell you it is. It's about 2,000 years old. Okay, so it's going to seem a little old-fashioned. Okay, some of you are going to get mad at me. Here's what you like to do when we get on this topic. You like to say things when you leave that I said that I'm not going to say. Okay? So what I'm not going to say today, though some of you may leave here mad quoting me and saying this, I'm not saying that a woman ought to be barefoot and pregnant and in the kitchen. Everybody listening? So don't leave here and say that's what I'm saying when I don't say that, because I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to say that, other than when I just did right then to say that I'm not saying that. But what I am going to teach you this morning, and what we are going to see from the Word of God teach us this morning, and what the Holy Spirit hopefully is going to in our hearts this morning and to engrave in our innermost being is this. That there is God's way to do marriage and there's the world's way to do marriage. And those of you who see the marriages in the world, why would you want to do marriage like that? And so we're going to see the joy of marriage, how God defines it. What I love about this is when we look at Peter's writing on the marriage, it's exactly the same as what Paul teaches on marriage. Because they were unified in what they believed because there's a purpose. And we're going to look at that purpose. We're going to see what this is all about. Why should it be this way? And I hope today that some husbands and some wives get on their face before God and they confess that their marriage does not look like this, because I promise you the outcome is going to be a devastation in your life if your marriage doesn't look like what we're talking about today. You've all heard a bad quote and a bad analysis that says this, a statistic that's dreadfully wrong. It says that the marriage rate in the church is exactly the same in the world. That's not true. Okay? I'll give you some clarity on that. The marriage rate of professing believers. Listen to me. The marriage rate of professing believers is the same as that of the world. But we all know this, don't we? But wait, if Jesus is right, how many of y'all still believe Jesus? He says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He's saying there'll be lots of people who confess me with this, but they're not obedient. What did he say? Only he who's obedient, only he who does the will of my Father. You want to rise above the junk of the world? Let me give you the key. Do the will of the one who purchased you out of this world. And we're going to look at his will today in regard to marriage. And you can do this. If you're a believer, you can't. If you're a professing believer who's really not a believer at all, but you think you're a believer because you walked an aisle and you prayed a prayer and your grandma told you she bought you a Bible and you got baptized and everything's okay, that doesn't truly make you a believer. It doesn't make you a follower of Christ if he never drew you himself out of darkness and into light and offered you the gift of eternal life and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. If you're a believer here today, you can't argue with what we're about to read. And here's the thing, if you're a believer here today, you can't hear the truth today and continue to live like you've been living and have peace about it. So I pray today that you're convicted about it, and I pray that upon that conviction from the Lord, I pray that you get honest with yourself, with your spouse, and with God about it, and today you walk out of your chain. So as we look at this, you read with me, 1 Peter chapter 3. As Peter does not just jump into another topic, he continues the topic of here's what the stranger's marriage ought to look like, because he understood there's going to be some of us who are strangers who are married. And he says this, watch me. Wives, in the same way as what? We saw last week that he was saying that we have to submit to authority whether we like it or whether we don't. Everybody who was here last week, you remember that part? So when he says in the same way, he says just as you have to submit to authority that you don't like in the government, be that federal, state, or local government, he says, in the same way. Wives, in the same way, be submissive. There's that ugly word again. That can be the greatest word that can ever enter into your marriage if you would allow it to be what God intended for it to be. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. We're going to look at why in just a second. So that if any of them do not believe the word, please, ladies, listen to me. If you have an unbelieving husband, watch what he's about to say and stop nagging him about Jesus. Watch what he says. So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over, watch this, without words. Oh no, this is miraculous, isn't it? Huh? Without words, they may be won over by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not, watch this, come from outward adornment. Is there anything wrong with makeup? Look at the lady next to you and say, no, sir. Watch. He doesn't say there's anything wrong with it. He said, but true beauty ought to come from the inside. Everybody understand? It doesn't matter if you got your makeup done just right. If you're ugly on the inside, everybody's going to know it. He says it shouldn't come from outward adornment such as braided hair and the wearing of gold and jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, nothing wrong with those things. Please understand that. He never condemns that. He just says it shouldn't come from that. Instead, it should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Y'all thinking about that last social media post right now. Which is of great worth in God's sight. Look at verse 5. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. You know why? Because they didn't have all this other stuff to make themselves beautiful. They're beautiful on the inside first, and that beauty then came through on the outside by their gentle spirit, by their godliness, by their submissive hearts. It says they were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. Whoa, wait a second, preacher. He was the leader of their home. He was God's chosen man to make decisions for that household. And watch this, to make decisions for a whole people group. Did you know that? You ladies will find out that if you'll learn to see your husband as a big deal, you'll treat him like he's a big deal. Said she called him master. You are her daughters. Wait a second. You are her daughters. How many of you understand if you are truly in Christ, you have been engrafted into the promises of Abraham? Y'all go all the way back to when you were a little kid in church. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had father. Sing it with me. And I am one. Remember? There we go. You got it. So here's the thing. You learned that principle a long time ago. You just never have learned to apply it. Daughters of Abraham, listen to me. Listen to what he's saying here. If you're truly born again and have been engrafted into the promise of Abraham, this ought to be the way you live your life. He said they were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Watch this. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as, here's where all the liberals get mad at me, the weaker partner. Can I stop for a second? I want to describe this so you don't get so mad at me today. How many of you know what an anvil is? Anybody know what an anvil is? If you've ever seen a blacksmith and he's sitting there on that anvil, he's taking that hammer and he's beating that hot metal out and he's forming it and shaping it to whatever. You picture guys as an anvil. You picture ladies, you wives, as a vase. A priceless vase. Here's the thing. Which one is more valuable? To the blacksmith, the anvil. But to the rest of the world, understand, that vase is more valuable. Here's the thing. It doesn't make you less valuable or less important because you're the vase. It makes you what? What happens if we crack that vase on the side of that anvil? It breaks. So understand this. He's not downgrading women here. I get sick and tired of people saying that. Well, the Bible's just constantly downgrading women. No, he's not. He's putting them in their proper perspective as a priceless vase. They are the weaker vessel. We can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Satan knew this. He knew he was not going to deceive Adam because Adam had a direct command from God, don't eat. So he went to the weaker vessel who for whatever reason is created to act on her emotions. Ladies, go like this. That's why God gave you men. Your kid gets cut open and you're like, kid's bleeding to death on the floor. Dad goes, I got this. You like me, we just pour super glue in it and hold it tight for a little bit. Huh? I ain't going to the hospital for a stitch. I give them an option. You want super glue or you want me to go get the fishing line? Y'all laugh. They choose super glue all the time. The thing is, understand, he's not downgrading women here. He's putting them in their proper role as the weaker vessel. Listen, understand that, men. If you will treat your wives as if they are the weaker, more valuable vessel, I promise you, it pays great dividends in the end. So as we read this, look what he says. He says, husbands, the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Think about that for a second. Man, these are the people who you get to live life with, man. You get to spend life with this woman that God has given you who is way, way out of your league. I don't care how handsome you are. If you have a woman here, she's out of your league. He goes on and he says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. We're going to talk about that and what all that means and what it doesn't mean in just a moment. But I want to break this down for you. We're going to look at three things today as we look at the stranger's marriage or the marriage of the strangers, however you want to entitle that. If you're married here, pay attention. If you're engaged here, definitely pay attention. And if hopefully one day you're going to get married, pay attention. Because these things are going to help you. Don't leave here and get the world's opinion on it. Because the world's opinion is going to be directly contrary to what we're going to look at today. Because the world says you're equal when God just said you're stronger, she's weaker. Lie number one that the world teaches you. Everybody go like this. I know, oh man, preacher, you're about to step off in something you don't need. I ain't scared. I'm not stepping off of my own authority. I'm stepping off of what we just read in God's Word. It's His authority. You want to argue with someone, you take it up with God. Hey, call me. Let me know how that works out for you. The first thing we see this in this passage is the submissive wife. The submissive wife. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 if you have your Bibles. We're going to parallel these two passages. Paul goes into a little bit greater detail as he looks at this. I know you've heard a million things on this, but we're going to look at a million and one. Paul says this in verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Watch what he's going to say here. Liberals, get ready. It's going to give you a cramp in your stomach. Hey guys, just dug it. They have no idea how that one little chair leg looks like a gun barrel when it comes up over that rail. You laugh. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Watch this. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Listen, write this down. Kirk Hall did not make that up. That is the Apostle Paul telling you this, that there is an order that must take place in the Christian home. And that order is this. Number one, that wife must be a submissive wife. Now, I know what you think immediately. Listen, submissiveness is not just talking about sexual activity. That would be easy. He says, in everything. You ought to submit to your husbands as the church submits to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to ask ourselves this. Why does the church submit to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we love Him. Because He says, if you love me, you'll what? You'll obey me. So we see this. The wife who is a born-again believing wife, a stranger in this world, she submits to her husband, number one, because the Lord says that's what you ought to do, because she loves the Lord. Don't say that you love the Lord and that you're a God-fearing woman if you don't submit to the authority of your husband in your home. Meaning this, ladies, are you paying attention? If your husband says don't spend any more money, even though you think you ought to, even though for some wild reason you think you have the right to. Don't look at it right now, dude. You are digging a grave for yourself. Talk about it later. Even if you think you have the right to, let me tell you something, ladies. God's Word says you don't have the right to. If He tells you no, guess what it means? No. When your husband tells your daughter who's a teenager who thinks she might want to wear something a little bit shorter than dad says is okay, listen, when he's not there, make sure the same rules apply. Because what you're doing is you're teaching your daughter who one day is going to get married that it's not important that she submits to her husband's authority. Why is this so important? It's important because it proves that she truly loves the Lord and really listens to what He says. Now, doesn't this look different than the world's idea of marriage? Oh, we're just two people coexisting together. Wrong! Wrong! You're not. You're one person unto God with a head, and that head is the husband, and he is the leader of your home, ladies. And if you are not submitting to his authority as the ruler and master of his home, let me tell you this. You are in sin. You need to get on your face today and you need to confess it to God. And then secondly, you need to confess it to Him, to your husband. And say, I haven't been the godly wife that He desires for me to be. But today the Holy Spirit is going to give me strength to do that from this point forward as I die to myself and as I yield to Him. She's submissive to her husband because she loves the Lord. But secondly, she's submissive to her husband because she loves her husband. You know what the most irritating thing to a man is? A wife who doesn't submit to his God-given authority. You know why so many marriages break down? Because husbands get frustrated. You know why husbands get frustrated? Because they're crafted with something inside of them that is a desire to lead their family. And when they're not allowed to lead their family, let me tell you something. It is the most frustrating thing. All these men are doing this. You look at them, ladies. They're not going to say it to you because they're tough and they got it all figured out. I'll be the spokesman this morning. It is the most frustrating thing in the world to a man to have the God-given inner desire to lead in a woman who will not let him. And what you're going to do is you're going to frustrate him to the point that he is either removed mentally, physically, spiritually, or he removes himself completely from the whole equation. So understand, ladies, and it's no accident. Did you see? He knew this was going to be a problem. He started with the female and said, wives, submit to your husband. He knew that one day this was going to be the world's agenda. Did you know that? He knew this. One day it was going to be the agenda of the world to destroy a godly family. And the quickest way he knew that they would try to destroy the godly family was through the weaker vessel, just like sin entered into this world. He has no new tricks. And he's saying to you today, if you'll listen, wives, submit to your husbands because you love the Lord. Submit to your husbands because you truly love your husband. Why? Here's the whys of all this. He might not be a believer. You say, wait a second, Pastor. I'm a believer. And my husband, he's not. And you're telling me that I need to submit to him? Watch this. 100% of the time. I know the following question. But what if he tells me I can't go to church? Don't go to church. But what if he tells me I got to go to the church where he wants me to go? Watch this one. Go to the church he tells you he wants you to go. But what if he tells me this and what if he tells me that? What if we change the Word of God and it doesn't really say everything, but we can't because it does say everything? There was a couple in Arkansas. I knew of this couple. He was not a believer. She was. For about 20 years of their marriage, you know what she thought it was her job to do? Evangelize her husband. Guys, let's get real with the ladies real quick so that they get this. If you nag us about anything, does it make us want to do it more? Or does it make us want to do it less? Let me tell you, it's a natural thing to make us want to do it less because inside we know she ought not be telling me what I'm supposed to do. Now, preacher, that's just old-fashioned junk. Hey, do it. I've seen enough marriages. Guess what? I get to see them at the beginning. Sometimes I get to see them at the end. And let me tell you this, the reason that I see them at the end is because they don't apply these principles right here. So the thing is, well, what if he's not a believing husband? Here's the thing. This lady, she had a husband. He wasn't a believer. She was. 20 years, she nagged him about it. Guess what? He never darkened the door of the church. Finally, a preacher told her the truth. He said, well, what does he do on Sunday? Well, he's off on Sunday. What does he do? He goes fishing. Preacher told her, go fishing with him. Listen, folks, this ain't a made-up story. Go fishing with him. Huh? What kind of crazy preacher would tell a wife who wants to go to church to go fishing instead? A preacher who knows the Word of God. Go fishing with him. And shut your mouth. I forgot the second part of those instructions. It was probably more like this. Shut up and get in the boat. So what she did that first Sunday, you know what she did. Grabbed her little bag, because ladies got to take snacks fishing. My wife's funny. She'll bring a Rubbermaid tote full of snacks. I'm like, nobody's going to eat those. I'm fishing. I'll eat when I get done. Yeah, but we need snacks. We need snacks. But she brought her little bag of snacks, right? She didn't like fishing, so I'm sure she brought her book to read. I'm sure it was the Bible, so she could look spiritual to her husband who was skipping out on church, who didn't care about church at all because he's an unbeliever. Can't make an unbeliever care about church. Here's the thing. They went fishing the first week. It was kind of quiet. He knew she was there just to make him happy. They went fishing a few more weeks. Hey, they started to kind of get along. Let me help you. Footnote. Very important in marriage that you get along. If you're not getting along, we need to work, okay? They began to get along. And watch this. She actually began to enjoy being out there fishing with him. She realized that she can praise the Lord inside right there, see the birds chirping in the sunrise, and see him get thrilled by this thing that he enjoys. Here's the thing. This goes on for quite some time. One Sunday morning, they got up, before daylight, to go fishing. He came in and he wasn't wearing his fishing clothes. He's wearing his church clothes. Now, if you like me, they're the same thing. You wouldn't be able to tell by me. But he came in, but I'm going to have short breeches on. I can justify short breeches because Jesus wore a dress. So the thing is, here's the deal. He came in with his church clothes on. And she said, what are you doing? He said, well, the way I see it is I know you've really been wanting to go to church. And you just went fishing because you knew that's what I wanted you to do. Marriages, listen to me. Husbands, wives, pay attention to this. Wives, perk your ears up right now and listen. Your husband's at home right now and he's an unbeliever. You're not going to reach him by preaching to him. It was never designed for you to preach to him. He says, in the way I see it, you did that for me and I'd be wrong not to take you to church every now and then. What he didn't know was every now and then was this. He's going to go to church that Sunday. God was going to shake him up, draw him out of darkness and into light. He was going to save his very soul and change him forever. You say, hey, listen, you say, Kirk, that's some made up story. Listen, I know these folks. I've seen them serve the Lord together. Understand, this ain't make-believe. This ain't Hollywood. She learned to shut her mouth and submit. And then he saw something that's different. He saw there's something inside of this woman that I've never seen before. He saw her desire to sacrifice herself for him, just like the Lord sacrificed himself for her. She did that because she loved her husband. Wives, submit to your husband because you love the Lord, because you love him. Because your husband could be an unbeliever, he needs to be reached with the gospel. And the Word says right here, you're not going to reach him with your word, you're going to reach him by your example. Your godly example, being a woman of God. Not by what comes out on the outside, but what you're made of on the inside. Because when you do that, you leave room for your inner beauty to be revealed to Him. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. There is nothing more beautiful to a man than a godly woman. You listen to me? There is nothing. Listen, my wife is a beautiful, beautiful woman. But you know what the most beautiful thing about her is this? This is this. Listen to me. I see Jesus Christ in her. I see His mercy. I see His grace. I see His forgiveness on lots of occasions. I see His unconditional love. I see Jesus Christ in that lady who's up there right now with those kids upstairs. I'm glad she's not here because I'd be crying like a little girl. That's the most beautiful thing in the world that a man can see. Listen, because I want some of you older people to testify to this real quick. Just raise your hand. How many of you understand? Outer beauty fades. But inner beauty that comes from God continues to flourish, continues to grow. It's deeper and deeper and deeper. Ladies, show your inner beauty to your man by that submissive spirit that can only come from listening to the Holy Spirit inside of you. He doesn't stop there. Ladies, take a deep breath. Your turn's over. He says also that not only should that wife be submissive to her husband, watch what he says to the man here, verse 7. He says, husbands, in the same way, in the same way. What does that mean? Even when you don't necessarily like what's going on. Even when it's not where you think it ought to be. Some of you quit when you get upset because it's not what you think it ought to be. Here's what I say to you. Be obedient to God and let Him make it what He says it ought to be. He says, husbands, in the same way, be considered as you... This is back in 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considered as you live your life with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So he talks about a serving husband. Flip back over to Ephesians where we just left. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Watch this. You there? Husbands. Say it again so you hard-headed men perk up. Husband. Who's he talking to? He's talking to men of God. He's talking to the leaders of the home. He's talking to God's design for what it ought to look like. He says, husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Wow. Husband, it's your job to serve your wife. Huh? Yeah. Serve your wife. How many of you know Jesus came to this earth and He said, I came to serve. So shouldn't we as husbands in our relationships to our wives look like Jesus Christ to our wives? Say it with me. Yes, sir. We ought to have, and we do if we're born again, I promise you, have an inner desire to serve our wives. What happens is, we also have the flesh that keeps us from doing this, right? When she needs help with the dishes and you're too tired because you worked all day, so did she. When she's asked you nicely maybe to do some things for her that you just didn't have time to do because your hobby was so important. I know what you guys are saying. Now, preacher, it was good when you were on the women, but now you're meddling in our business. Right? You're wading off in something you don't need to wade off into, preacher. Listen, we're going to wade off hip deep if that's what we need to do. I want to see the strangers in this church leave here and look different than the world. And you're going to look different than the world. Listen, when you open that door for your wife and for your daughter, when you go into a restaurant, when you open the door for her at the car, watch this. When you go to the mall and hold her hand in front of all those people, Because you're going to look different not only to a world who needs to see you look different, you're going to look different to your wife. When you give her a kiss in front of people, I'm not talking about the same kind of kiss you give her when you're not in front of people. When you compliment her, not just in front of people, all the time, you are going to see something change in your marriage. I promise you. When she's about to pull her hair out at the side of the bathtub because she's on kid number 3 as you've been sitting there watching ESPN and she's tired and she's frustrated and she doesn't want anything but a little relief, when you walk in there and you say, "Babe, why don't you go run your bath water? Or better yet, hey, I already started it for you. Why don't you go take a bath and I'll wipe up the rest of this?" How many of you believe things would change at your house? Things changed at my house when I learned these principles, Lord. How many realize things will change at your house? Why? Because you're being obedient to God. And when you're obedient to God, you're walking in the blessings of God. And I know this. I know it doesn't look like the world's idea of marriage. The world still thinks it's two independent people living their lives just sleeping in the same bed. Man, do not settle for that, church! Don't settle for that. This is the person, according to what we just read, you get to live your life with. A lot of people see that life part and they think he's talking about eternal life. He's not talking about eternal life. Your husband and your wife, they're a blessing for this life. And he's saying this, see them as such, view them as such, love them as such. So we've seen the submissive wife, the serving husband. Why should the husband serve the wife? Same reasons, because he loves the Lord. Did the Lord not just tell us to do that? Hello? Because he loves the Lord. Secondly, because he loves his wife. Thirdly, because watch. What if his wife's an unbeliever? Oh, we often think about unbelieving husbands. And we love to say, wife, shut up and just lead. Win your husband by example. But we don't ever stop to tell the husband, listen, you might have an unbelieving wife. And the way to reach her, watch this. How did Jesus reach us? He came to serve us. And when we saw that He served us by dying on a cross in spite of who we really are, we loved Him because He first loved us. It's the same in your marriage. Husbands, if you have an unbelieving wife, listen to me. Serve her like the Lord serves you. And when you do, I promise you, God's word is true and everything else is a big fat lie. You will see things change in your home. But you got to be willing to serve her. That means you got to let go of some of you. You listen to me, man? Because your wife's frustrated. She's frustrated because, guess what? You're selfish. You're concerned about your money, your living, your success, your hobbies, your sports, your ideas, your goals, your dreams, whatever the case may be, and she's just over here, and you know what she feels like. She only sees affection from you at one time, that's usually bedtime. Are we about to talk about this in church? Yeah, we're going to talk about it. Here's the thing. The reason that families are failing is because we don't talk about this in church. Husbands, listen to me. Serve her all the other time during the day, and that time's even going to be better. She's not going to be cold when it comes to that time. It's not just going to be an obligation to her. You say, well, Pastor, I can't even believe we're talking about this. Listen, I'm talking about it in code as much as I can because there's kids here. But you know what I'm talking about. The ladies are going, I hope he's listening, I hope he's listening, I hope he's listening, I hope he's listening. Right? The men are going, can we please go back to the women? Can we please go back to the women? But God's word's true, isn't it? Why are you here if you don't believe the word of God? If you've been here more than once, you know we're going to talk about the word of God. We're going to put the word of God in its context. We're going to put it in right perspective. We're going to hit you right between the eyes with it. So if you're still coming here, you must really want that somewhere deep inside. Here it is. He said, wives, submit to your husbands. Husband, serve your wives. Love them like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Man, that is the ultimate sacrifice. Your wife needs to know that you are willing to do anything in this world for her. When she knows that, she's going to be content. She's going to be excited. If she's lost, watch this. She's going to come to know Jesus. Why? Because she's going to see Jesus in you. And when she sees Jesus in you, because she knows you better than anybody else, when she sees Jesus in you, she is going to know for the first time that Jesus is as real as you are standing there. Here's the specific reason for these instructions, and I'm done. We've seen the submissive wife, the serving husband. Here's the specific reasons why. I'm going to hit them quick. Pay attention. Number one, to evangelize your lost spouse. We do these things to evangelize our lost spouse. Now, I know this in a perfect world, if we heed the Word of God that says this, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever, we're not going to marry an unbelieving spouse. But how many of you say, well, love got me? Yeah, it just happens, doesn't it? Some of you thought the idea of missionary dating was good. You were going to date this guy, he was not such a good guy, and you were going to reach him for Christ. And now you're married to him and you haven't reached him for Christ yet because you hadn't really known how up until this point. But now, let's be quiet, let's submit, and let's see what God does when you're faithful to His Word. To evangelize your lost spouse. Shouldn't I be the greatest example of Christ that my wife ever sees? Huh? Because I can be, listen, I promise you this, I can be myself and 100% honest with that woman, and she can do the same with me. There is nothing that hinders anything in our relationship. We know everything there is to know. Shouldn't she see Christ in me more than she sees Christ in anyone else? And shouldn't I the same? And you know when I see Christ in her? When that inner beauty comes out of her. When I can tell she thinks I have absolutely lost my mind, but she trusts God in me. Like this, honey, we're moving back to Texas. We're going to start a church there. Okay, tell me a little bit about this church. I don't even know if I got that much. It was probably just, okay. If that's what you want God to do and you feel God's leading you to do, you know I'm going with you. Listen, I've drugged this woman all around the United States so far. I hope I don't have to drag a whole bunch more, but that's in God's hands. And not one single time has she ever questioned the Holy Spirit's leadership in my life. Because she knows me well enough to know this. You know what? She knows I'm a knucklehead. She knows I'm an idiot most of the time. She knows that I am flawed and I am sinful, up one side and down the other, in and of myself. But she does know this about me. She knows my heart. She knows that I'm listening to the voice of God and that I want to be in the center of His will. Here's the thing. I know the same about her because she always submits to God's leadership in our life. It's a great thing. If you're missing out on that in your relationship, let me tell you something. You're cheating yourself. Specific reason. Evangelize your spouse. You need to reach your spouse with the gospel. He told us how to do it. You got a lost husband? Shut your mouth. Submit to his authority. He'll see Christ in you. You got a lost wife? Serve her like Christ served you and gave himself for you. Not just that. Not just to evangelize, but how about to effectively worship? He said this. He said, so that your prayers would be answered. Here's the thing. You ever tried to pray when you and your wife were fighting? Having intense Christian fellowship? Because good Christians don't argue and fight, right? Have you ever tried to pray? How many of you would be honest and say, man, when I did, it's like I was praying to a brick wall. How many of you know when you were married in the eyes of God, you became one with her? And one with Him. How many of you know this? A house divided will never stand. Here's the thing. Why God won't let you get through when you're praying, when you and your spouse are at odds with each other, is because you have sin in your life. You are supposed to go to the other one. Guys, this is going to hurt your feelings. You're supposed to drop your pride. You're supposed to say this. I was wrong. Huh? Like Fonzie, I was wrong. And I'm sorry. Whoa. Hey, you know what? Some of you ladies here, that's the first time you ever heard that. I was wrong and I'm sorry. I am a knucklehead. I've been a knucklehead since I set foot in this earth. I let my mouth overload my rear again, right, guys? Yeah, it's called humbling yourself. I'm sorry and I was wrong. Have you ever noticed it? When we as leaders lead in that manner, the next response from I was too. Well, you can't take all the responsibility because we're one. And you know what? I lashed back at you. If I'd have just took it, we could have had this discussion. I wouldn't have to say this, but I lashed back at you because I was mad. And ladies, you know you want the last word. No, none of y'all. I shouldn't have lashed back. Well, I forgive you. Well, I forgive you too. Now that disharmony and that lack of unity that you just had a few moments ago is gone, you go together to the Lord. Lord, forgive us that we let the enemy interrupt what you're trying to do in our lives. God, we confess that to you. Lord, teach us to live and to love like you lived and loved in our married life so that we will be what we need to be so that our worship in this world toward you is not hindered by our own stupidity. I believe there's some couples that need to pray that this morning. I believe there's some couples that husband, let me tell you this, don't wait for your wife to grab you by your hand and take you up to the altar. You big sissy. I want to see some men of God. I want to see some men of God raised up in this community who say, you know what? I don't care what the world thinks. I love my wife and I've blown it a million times. But from this point forward, I'm going to be different as the leader of my home. And I want to see some ladies who say, I want to submit to that man because his heart beats for God. But are we going to see that today? Are we just going to settle with status quo, American Christianity, American marriage, and just become victims just like all the others before? Let me tell you something. There's this last reason that I want you to see that this is important. It's so the rest of the world can see Christ through your marriage. So that the rest of the world can see Christ through your marriage. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Look at verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 31 first. He says, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. What's a mystery? Marriage is a mystery? What is he talking about? No, he's talking about the picture that a marriage that is done right according to the Word of God is. He says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and His church. You thought this whole time he was talking about the marriage between the husband and wife, and he was. But he's saying the mystery in that is this. I have chosen. Watch this. I have chosen the family that the world may see what my love for the church is. As, watch this, Jesus Christ willingly sacrificed himself for the bride, the church. In the utmost display of service and sacrifice that the world has ever seen or will ever see, as he did that, he gave a display. And that display was, I am going to serve my bride. And our response should be this. I am going to submit to the groom who gave it all for me. He said, in the family, when the Christian family, when those strangers, listen to me, church, when the strangers' marriages are what they need to be, the lost world is going to see Christ in you. And in that, others will come to know Christ because your marriage was what God's Word says your marriage ought to be. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? You're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm truly born again, but I believe right now in my heart that God's telling me that I need to be born again, that I need to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That I need to this day confess my sin and the fact that I am a sinner in my inmost being. And that I need Him to wash me clean of all my sin. And I feel His Spirit drawing me out of that life of sin and that life of deceit, that life of flesh and carnality. And He's drawing me into a right relationship with God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here today, you say, that's me, Pastor. I want to surrender my life to Jesus as my Savior and Lord today, to cry out to Him in repentance that He would forgive me of my sin, cleanse me. Would you just slip up your hand? All I want to do is pray with you and pray for you. Keep that up for me. Say, I need Jesus to save you. Thank you, sir. Keep it up. Thank you, sir. You keep it up for me. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Because I need Jesus Christ to save me this morning. I'm willing to repent of my sin and turn to Him alone. Be the man of God that He's telling me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I need you two men who have your hand in the air right now. I want you to look at me eye to eye. You believe right now that that's what God's telling you to do, sir? You believe that's what God's telling you to do, sir? You willing to turn from your life of sin and turn to Jesus Christ? Listen, what I want you to do, I'm going to ask you to do something brave. We're going to do things a little different this morning. I'm going to ask you if you would, sir. I need a man over here. JD, where are you? Rick's right here. I'm going to ask you, Rick, if you would, you just go with Rick. And Rick, you tell him what it means to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Sir, if you would, if you just begin to make your way down this aisle, there's a man who's going to meet you halfway. He's going to tell you what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's called you out of darkness and into light. You repent of your sin. So, folks, you think God's not wanting men to step up and be men of God? Just talking about what a right marriage looks like. Two people came to Christ. We didn't talk about the cross and the blood, though we did. You're here today and you say, Pastor, my house isn't what it's supposed to be. Sir, you say, I'm not the husband that I know the Word of God just told me that I need to be. Listen, what I encourage you to do, make it right with God, then you take your wife, you make it right with her. Wives, you realize I'm not the woman that God has called me to be. Listen, I know this isn't popular. It's not going to be popular. This is not our world. We're going to look crazy to people when we submit ourselves to our husbands and when we serve our wives like Christ loved and served the church. We're going to look crazy. But in that, let me tell you something. We're going to bring God glory. That's what it's all about, isn't it, church? As the music begins to play, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict you where you need to be convicted. That's not my job. My job is just to deliver a message. That He would convict you wherever it is that you need to be convicted. Husbands and wives, don't wait for me. Thank you. You get on your face before the God who gave you one another. You make things right with Him this very day. If you need prayer, there's folks here to pray with you and to pray for you. And allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life. Pray for those who've gone to hear the gospel and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus is called.